I didn't know much about it, so I was just kind of, you know, exploring. And the more I learned about, you know, these power dynamics that exist already in the world and all of the different dependencies that are so difficult to break and that are so ingrained in the system that we're in, the more I was thinking, okay, I can't actually work in that field.
You are a driven international professional or manager, have achieved quite a bit already, but are asking yourself from time to time, what do I really want? How do I want to work and live? Then this is your podcast. I'm Gina Friedrich, career and life coach for people who want to actively shape their future. Every second Thursday, I release interviews for you with inspiring, successful, as well as renowned international personalities from the world of business, NGO, and sports. They all will share with you what these questions mean to them, how they handled obstacles in their lives, and shaped their journey to where they are today. You are curious and don't want to miss anything? Sign up for this podcast right here. And now, let yourself be inspired on your very personal journey towards the future that you wish for. Hi! I hope you're all well, and I'm happy to have you here listening to episode 10 of my podcast. Today, you'll get to know some nice and inspiring impulses from Nicole Bogot, who currently lives in Istanbul. What a woman! I can only try to give you a rough idea about all that she has done and is still doing today, so make sure you'll check out the show notes for further information. Nicole has lived, worked, and studied in Africa, Asia, Europe, North America, and the Middle East. Her focus lies on political science, international relations, and social entrepreneurship. She held leading positions for organizations and foundations, and today she is an author, founder, and CEO of Philia, an international organization that empowers women. And she's the founder of IMPACT, a global movement for social impact and system change. In today's episode, Nicole shares the three things that, from her perspective, are needed to achieve something in this world and how this helped her in decision-making processes. We discuss the importance of degrees and networks and learn about how she experienced and handled feelings around having kind of a love and hate relationship with her field of studies. We also talk about how a purpose and clear path in mind alone might not bring you to where you want to go. And now get ready for this and much more. Hi, Nicole!
Hallo!
Nicole, it is super exciting for me to have you here as a woman who is empowering others, especially young people and women. And you're working on an environmental global scale. Super exciting, and I'm very, very happy to have you here today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks.
If we would ask your best friend to describe you, what would he or she tell us about you?
Ooh, that is a good question. She might be listening now. She would probably say that I am, determined, I think. Unconventional. Mm-hmm. Like a social butterfly, probably.
A social butterfly.
Quite open, yeah.
Very nice
talk
word.
I'm quoting her now. this is what she said before. What else does she say about me? I think these are like some of the words that she would use that just spring to mind.
Thanks for sharing. Looking at your professional path so far, I have to say it's super impressive. But it seems like that having an impact in this world was a goal quite early in your career, was it?
In some way, yeah. I mean, I think I've known quite early what I wanted. And even though I have all these different steps that I took, I think they all, kind of have a red thread through them. So, yeah, I would say I knew quite early what I wanted to do or what interests me and, yeah.
Would you say that knowing that it is like a guiding thread now, or would you actually say that even back then you knew that there is something that you're following on?
I knew from early, like I knew what I wanted to do. What I didn't know was if I was able to actually do it, because it seemed kind of impossible, especially when you're young, you know, like you don't know how to do things. But I knew what I wanted and I knew what I was interested in. So,
So what was that? What would you say? Like back then, and your maybe even in the words you would have used back then, what was it that you wanted to do later on in your career?
Yeah, so I think for me, a key moment that really changed a lot of things was when I was a foreign exchange student in the US, and the Iraq War broke out that time. And I was the only German at that high school, and the war broke out and Germany did not participate in the war. And then people asked me, and they were saying, and they were almost offended, some of them, of these students, you know, like high school students. And they'd be like, why are you not joining in the war? And I was like, I don't know. Why don't I know this? And I started to be interested in, you know, in international relations. Because these were my friends, right? And then also, I mean, the whole image of the U.S. kind of seemed to change around that time. And I remember in Germany, a lot of my friends there, while I was gone, they started protesting against it. And they were, you know, they took a stance against that. Whereas my other friends and my high school and everybody, they were saying, we are liberating people in Iraq right now. And I was sitting in those history lessons and I thought, okay, they are, and you know, I just listened to what I heard and I was like, yeah, they're liberating, you know, like this is what I understood. Yeah. And somehow then going back to Germany, it made me realize, well, there's so many, like, what is the truth here? You know, like what is happening? And I think this was a key moment somehow. To have that experience that led me to want to know more.
And then you started taking a route towards that direction. So maybe you just walk us through the key positions or roles that you were holding throughout your career until now.
Okay. Actually, I would add something to that first point, if we can go back.
Of course.
You know, actually, there was another occurrence that around that time that led me further into what I'm doing now. And that was when I was backpacking throughout the Middle East and Asia. And that actually was a point when, you know, the whole question of power dynamics started to be a central theme for me as well. Power, you know, why is the global economy working the way it does? So, you know, I had other experiences that kind of kept driving me into this direction. But then, yeah, key roles I had or key positions. Well, I think you can start with my studies at universities. I studied in England. And during that bachelor degree, that was in international relations and development, I also did a few semesters abroad. So I was in the US, I was in Turkey, and I was in Yemen during that time. And I did quite a lot of internships during that time. So I tried to explore where can my work really benefit people. So I was, you know, at think tanks, I was in the Foreign Office, I was at the Chamber of Commerce, I was, I don't know, in many different institutions. And further, I also, during my studies, participated in a lot of youth conferences. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty vital, I think, also for my personal development and, you know, testing the waters and actually not just studying, but starting to actually do things and starting to be in positions, you know, even if they were just for a conference or something, but and on a certain level. But I think that helps you to also feel yourself in these different situations where maybe you have to take a leadership role or maybe you have to, you know, do something with people together. I think really experiential learning is, one of the most important, ways to understand what you want and what you're good at. And
Try yourself out and really see what it does, right? Mm-hmm. With yourself and also in regards to having an impact or not. But yeah, I'm quite surprised you were really driven in regards to, doing one step after the other and making sure you get to the core of what drives you, right? So was it just like maybe a quick question before you continue. How do you explain that you had so much power and energy towards this topic, really doing these deep dives and trying to do more and more to experience more and more?
That's a great question. When I was thinking, okay, if I want to do anything in the world, what do I need to get there? And for me, it was clear you need three things, actually. One is knowledge. So for me, it was clear I had to get degrees. For people to have the trust in you and to think that you know something, a degree is almost like a proof or something, right? Like a license.
That quite sad, you, actually, right? That this is...
No,
like
it's not... Yeah. I don't really see it really sad. I think I see it a bit just... the way it is. I don't know. Is it
no,
sad?
Of course. What I mean by sad is more like that sometimes, let me give you an example. Back then, there was a moment that I had when I was working on a global program at the Vodafone Group back then, when I realized for the first time that what really was driving me and adding so much joy to my life was the work I did with my own little charity association that I founded years ago at that time. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that, this led to leaving a financially attractive position towards, the world of nonprofit. And when I, as a super experienced project manager, I was doing project management most of the time and leading positions and different international projects, but I attended a career fair back then mm-hmm. in Berlin, and I spoke to many, many people from big NGOs, and I was introducing the value that I think I could add and what inspired me and what I was interested in. But the reaction was like, when did you do your master's degree? Mm. And I said, I'm sorry, I only have a bachelor's degree. Yeah, then sorry, you have no chance here. I got this response 5 times and I was so disappointed, and I thought I will never make it into the world of NGOs, even though I was so experienced and I was sure I can add a lot of value. But they just said, you have to have this degree, otherwise you will not even be looked at when you share your CV with us. Mm. That's what I mean. So I don't think that the degree really is the one thing that tells about the value of a person.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, there's I totally more. Agree with you. I totally agree with you. I don't think a degree at all tells you about the value. I mean, of course, it doesn't tell you about the value of a human being. That's the number one. But it also doesn't necessarily tell you about the value of work, because it's not work experience. It's theory. Right. I just think in general, like, people are looking for clues somehow, right? That's what people go by if they don't know you. I thought if I had them, it would be easier. I mean, looking at the world the way it works, having a certificate, having a degree. I mean, even if it's not a degree, but you need to somehow show that you know something. People need to understand quickly what you know. And a degree is one way. There are other ways where mm-hmm. you can prove that you have understood something, some field, that you have an expertise, that you know something, a particular thing more than other people. That was the first thing. The second thing that you need is a network. If you don't know anybody and nobody knows you, it's super difficult to do things. You can also have good ideas, or you can have an expertise now. Yeah, you can have a degree. Okay. But if nobody really knows you, you don't have a network, it will be difficult. That's all I was looking at. What can make it easier? So having a network, having knowledge that I can sort of, present. These are two aspects. Mm-hmm. And the last one is resources. Yeah, so you need to somehow find a way to monetize what you do. And you need to be able to manage resources. And resources can be many things. It doesn't have to be money necessarily, but it can also be your time. It can be, your health, your energy. This is an important resource, like the people that are working with you, are they tired all the time or not? I mean, it makes a difference, right? Are they fulfilled? Like, do they have a lot of energy for the job? It's an important resource. So these three guiding posts, I think, helped me also in my decision making.
Yeah, cool. So you were on your way to work on these three areas to improve them and to gain more of them. When mm-hmm. you talked about network, that is something that, I specifically would like to know, what did you do? I mean, mm-hmm. if you were starting from scratch, or if you had a couple of them, and how did you grow your network? Is there something that you can share that maybe helps others?
Yeah. Okay. I think, first of all, networking or network has in sometimes a bad reputation. But if you perceive people as people and you understand that, any relation that you have also has a personal undertone, mm-hmm. not just the professional one, then you can actually network with many different people in many different positions. I mean, I have a very positive outlook on doing things together. Like, this is kind of how I see it. So I'm always thinking, you know, if I meet people, maybe we can do something together. Like, I have something to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. They have something to bring. And then maybe, who knows, you know? So I'm curious, you know? I want to know who these people are, what they do.
And maybe that's also a good way of looking at it, because sometimes, and that even is a problem that I have, in terms of building a network or approaching people that I don't know, I always feel like I'm coming and ask for something, which is not even the case sometimes, but it feels like, okay, I'm bothering others. But it's maybe a good way to say, like, hey, maybe there's something that we can learn or share. Yeah, it's something where both sides bring something on the table, as you just said, and not feeling like someone who's like knocking at the door and asking for help only.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think it's the way you perceive yourself in the interaction also. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I mean, even if you cannot collaborate or anything, but you could still have a good conversation, you know, just from a personal human level. Yeah. Oh, and what's also very important, and people underestimate this. And yeah, I see that also in my work that I do, that I'm always like running after everything, because follow-ups are the most important thing. If you don't follow up with people, you might as well not even meet with them. The meeting, okay, cool, is one thing, yeah, or talking to someone, but the follow-up is the real thing, you know, not the actual meeting.
Yeah,
the
true.
Follow-up. Yeah.
That's the part that makes it really grow and sustain, right?
Exactly, because, you know, I mean, moments don't last, you have to make them last.
True. Yeah, I think you were just at the beginning of your own personal journey. Maybe you want to step back and tell us a bit more about the steps you took to get where you are today.
So, as I said, I studied development coming from, you know, my experiences in my youth, basically. And while I was studying development, you know, I was at a university that had a bit of an edge, I would say. So my professors, they were quite critical towards development. And when I started in the field, I was, well, I didn't know much about it. So I was just kind of, you know, exploring. And the more I learned about, you know, these power dynamics that exist already in the world and all of the different dependencies that are so difficult to break and that are so ingrained in the system that we're in, the more I was thinking, okay, I can't actually work in that field. Mm-hmm. That for me was very difficult because, I mean, at the end of my degree, that was what I knew about. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I studied this, I did internships, I went to conferences. I was super invested in this topic. And then I realized I can't work in this field.
How did it feel when you realized that?
Defeating and frustrating and kind of like difficult because, you know, I do have a passion for it. You know, I had such a inner resistance because, you know, the more you know, now coming back to the knowledge, the more you know, it can be a curse and a blessing both, you know, because it's not just you get the degree, but after all, you also get all the knowledge if you pay attention. Then I took a slightly different turn. So then, actually,
how did you, if I may ask, how did you really get to this new course of action? So what did help you then to figure out how you can still combine what you really love doing and what it really is that you want to support?
I dropped the thing that I love doing and I did something different, basically. It wasn't combined.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, there was a little bit of an overlap, I guess, because I worked at a European media then, news media. So there was an element of politics involved, there was an element of networking involved, but it wasn't global in nature, it was European. And I wasn't dealing with power dynamics on a day-to-day basis. I went a different path then. I kind of left my original path that I enjoyed, that, you know, where I had, you know, this drive that you mentioned earlier, where you were like, how did you have this drive, right? Mm-hmm. And then I left that to the side and I started something else. And that affected me, actually, also to some extent.
What was the biggest challenge for you during that time?
I think one of the biggest challenges was, I'm a person that has a lot of drive, right? And ideas. And I want to try it, you know, I want to implement it and I want to go that direction and have a strong urge to do that, okay? And also to do it in a slightly unconventional way. You know, I want to try something new. And if something doesn't work, I don't want to continue doing that. I want to make it different, I kind of felt like I had to contain myself a little bit, you know, and I had to kind of fit into this new type of structure. Yeah, I felt like I couldn't use all my energy. This is a feeling I had very strongly, I remember.
Which was only at the beginning then? Did it change?
No, I think in the beginning I could use more because I was still learning a lot of things. Yeah, so I felt like I only used like from my 100% of energy, I maybe used 40 or something. And then I had 60 left and I didn't really know where to put that. So, yeah.
So there was more. You were looking for more and challenging you more.
Yeah.
And what did you do to overcome this or to free yourself?
Then I had a different job after that. In Namibia, and I was a country director of a political foundation, and that gave me more flexibility. Yeah, I was a country director, so I had a lot more leverage than in the job before. And then I was back to my topics, you know, because I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go back into the field from a practical point of view. Whereas before I was, you know, merely studying. Yeah, then I was back in the field that I studied in. During that time, I started knowing about entrepreneurship because I was signing a contract, a book contract, with a publishing house, a German publishing house, to do research on startups and how startups are impacting society. This also happened at the same time. And first, actually, I was wondering whether I should even write this book because I was like, well, I'm in the development field, right? And then entrepreneurship, I thought it's something else somehow. And interestingly, an unforeseeable thing happened that I realized that this is super connected to what I do, number one. And number two, this is what I've been somewhat looking for. I started understanding the entrepreneurial world much more. And the entrepreneurial world functions quite differently from the institutionalized world in a way. And yeah, and then somehow that brought me towards a new vantage point. And from that vantage point, I've started being able to really combine all of the things that, you know, that I was interested in. So it was the interest for international relations, but also, you know, the power dynamics, but, you know, understanding the system, but not be entirely part of it, but, you know, still working with the system in a way as an entrepreneur, which we do with Impact, the initiative that I founded 2017, co-founded. And we basically, you know, we look at system change from a grassroots perspective. And that for me feels right, you know, like I feel what we do is, you know, we're focusing on social entrepreneurship, I also have to add. So there is, I mean, different types of entrepreneurship, obviously, but we're looking at social impact as well. Yeah, somehow, yeah.
It feels in right. A nutshell. It feels right where you are today. Mm. That's how it sounds. You had an exciting journey to finally arrive.
Yeah, somehow. And I couldn't have foreseen this, you know, like I was speaking to a friend yesterday or 2 days ago, and we were wondering if ourselves of 5 years ago or 10 years ago would meet us now and talk to us, what they would think, you know. And this is an interesting exercise because, you know, when you think of yourself 5 or 10 years ago, who you were then and who you are now, and if you would have to explain yourself to that person, what would they say to you? And yeah, and I don't know. I mean, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have anticipated what I'm doing now. And 10 years ago, I would have probably kind of wished for what I'm doing now, but I wouldn't have known if this is a possibility somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to start the journey to see what happens. And most of the time, people might be very surprised what is possible, actually. Now you were so nicely walking us through your personal, professional and also personal career path. In general, more and more people and also organizations are trying to find or define their clear purpose, right? So yeah, sometimes this might even be a key driver for a strategy change or a career change. I mean, just looking at me, I was experiencing that on my own. And thank God, in the end, I made it into a super nice leading position in a foundation when I was trying to have this change. What would you say, what does a clear purpose mean to you in your professional and personal life?
I think it's very important to have a clear purpose. It's not always possible to be clear in your purpose, but I think to have that is very important. Actually, that makes me think of the book Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. You might know it. He is a Holocaust survivor, mm-hmm. and who then emigrated to the U.S. and he became a psychologist, I believe, or psychiatrist. And he looked at meaning and what brings meaning to life. And one of the things that he says is that it's that stretch between where you are now and this goal that you have, right? And this journey towards it is what gives your life meaning. So it's not necessarily to arrive, but it is to sort of strive, if I would put it into my words, from how I understood it. And this is, I think, why I put for myself rather large goals that, you know, might not be even achievable in a lifetime, but rather than smaller ones. I mean, I have some smaller ones, you know, like tangible ones that I would put in like a week or something. Okay. Like I have to finish a proposal or things like that. But generally, I think large goals are good because that will keep you striving, you know. And then, I don't know, it's nice. It's a nice feeling, I think. So, yeah, having a compass and a purpose, I think, is quite key. And I also want to add that, I mean, there's a lot of personal development out there and material and readings and so on. I think one of the best ways to arrive there, obviously, it's to listen to yourself. That's one thing. But I think what is equally important is to be able to experience yourself through another person, a person that you trust or a person that that helps you to realize yourself. And that's why, you know, paying attention to who's around you, I think it's super important. And also, you know, to have people that can really listen and really pay attention to what you say and to feed that back to you through understanding and not through judgment. If you have something like this, I think it's super valuable. And also if you can be that for other people, I think that also gives you your life purpose and meaning. I believe that this is one of the very important ways to develop this purpose.
Thanks for sharing that. Nicole, was there a question that you would wish for that you would have asked this someone or yourself earlier?
Well, I think one thing I would have liked to know earlier, maybe, is to know more about the possibilities within that field of somehow starting something new or starting something on your own. I wasn't aware of this. It never crossed my mind and it wasn't really part of what I was studying. It was more about you try to get an internship, which, as I said, was very like helpful for me. But I was like, oh, there was something missing. And I think it was this particular aspect that I'm a self-starter type of person. And I like to experiment and I like to try things. So I think it would have been nice to know this a bit earlier because then I could have factored that in. So
what would you recommend someone maybe as a first step who also maybe is trying to figure out the possibilities in regards to a certain field or a certain direction they might want to try themselves out in?
Yeah, I think gaining experience is key. I think studying and reading and, you know, the theoretical field, this is one thing. I think it depends, you know, what kind of person you are. But if you're more into, you know, the practical field, I think you should get more of the theory. And if you're more into the theory, you should get a lot more exposure and experience. And I think, yeah, experience is key. And with anything really that you want to grow in, you have to learn from experience. I think this is key. And by doing things differently and trying things differently, you can start to really understand, grasp things on a different level that you from reading something can't get, you don't get it fully, I think. So, yeah, and this is also why, you know, I like going both paths. You know, I like writing, I like researching, I like academia. So I like to be in that field. But I think you can also hide yourself in that environment. And, you know, you can have the best ideas, but if you cannot implement them, I don't know, then there's something missing somehow.
Yeah, so it needs the first step to really get out there, trying to find out as much as possible, as you've just beautifully explained. It's the experience that counts when trying to find out what it really is that maybe is driving someone, or that could be an option for the future work-wise. Thanks a lot. I would like to close with a question. What, throughout your exciting journey so far, what was something that really surprised you?
Well, kind of, where I ended up. You know, somehow, in a dual sense, it makes sense. But it's also nothing I planned. You know, where I ended up, which is like philia and impact and the writing and all of these things that I'm engaged in. All of them somehow, almost rather than me making them happen, happened to me. Of course, we're always evolving and I'm, you know, growing and, you know, I'm quite happy with what I do right now. And so this is a bit of a mystery, maybe, that somehow sometimes when you give up and you're like, okay, here, that's it. I don't know anymore. Then things start happening.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? How sometimes you always say you never know what door opens next, but sometimes it's like you don't even know what doors you have in front of you. They might not even be there yet, and they just pop up, and then it's interesting.
You know, it's so true, because you can prepare yourself and do all these things, and then nothing happens, no door, no people, no nothing. Yeah. And out of the sudden, when you say, okay, here, whatever, fine, I give in, then things start happening sometimes.
Would you relate that a little bit to really knowing your purpose, that then automatically things happen? Or would you say that a person who does not have this drive, or a person who's not really sure on what he or she wants to achieve, that this might not happen? So that, you have to set the course in order to find all these doors?
I don't know. I mean, I think you could know your purpose and nothing happens as well. I don't think just knowing your purpose, that doesn't, not, no. I think it is something else. And it is the somewhat a sweet spot, between trying something that you understand and from a point of your understanding, you know, like the way you perceive the world or something that you imagine. That's one aspect. But equally, being able, and this is the hard part, I think, that that's what also I'm trying to master here. But it is equally important, it's hard to put it in words, but to kind of be open to let things happen to you. Start with your idea and path, and then watch what's happening around you and let things happen to you. And I think this giving up mode and trust, you know, the trust that the things that are then happening that are kickstarted by you, but then they're happening without you knowing them. If you do that, I think this is good. If you just push your own thing, you're not going to grow very much, you know?
Yeah, you have to be open for inspiration and impulses, and you have to make sure you notice them when they are around. I agree.
You cannot be so focused on your thing and like totally, you know, no. You need to let the others and the things around you, the opportunities, whatever, you need that, you need to let that happen to you. I think this is the second, if you don't let that, then I don't think you're going to move much.
It's so funny, because the first thing I was thinking about when you just said that was like, yeah, true. I never planned to produce a podcast. And now here I am. Because
exactly.
Someone, when this idea popped up, saying like, I want to add value to people's life. I want to help them with what helped me back then. And then I thought like, an interview blog would be nice, where people like answer a couple of questions and then I can share that. And then suddenly there were so many amazing people that said, let's do that, but let's have a call and let's speak. And then someone externally, a friend of mine, said like, Gina, but you have to do a podcast. You have to, you have so much super interesting stuff on hand. So I said, like, at first was like, never, ever. And then I was processing it. And now, with everything that is happening, I also plan to do like an ebook out of the most inspiring interviews one day. And now I was told by someone from that industry, like, hey, Gina, that has such a potential. You have to make a book out of that. And I'm just like, no, not the next big thing that I did not expect to happen. Yeah, but that's maybe a small example. That is a great example. But I just experienced what you were explaining. So
yeah,
I was.
And I like smiling. I like that you explained that, because this is what I mean basically. Like, you have a sort of idea, I want to help, I want to add value, and you try a bit here and there, and you talk to people, and then things happen to you. And I think this is a great example. So happy.
Not always easy, and I'm fighting with myself, but in the end...
We're not saying easy here.
That's true. Life is not easy, but it's exciting and colorful. And Nicole, I thank you so much for sharing all this and being so open with everything that you have experienced in life. It was super nice listening to your story.
Thank you.
And I hope to speak to you again soon.
Certainly. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, Nicole.
Bye.
Did you like this episode and don't want to miss out on more inspiration? Sign up for this podcast right here or on Spotify, Apple or Android Podcasts, Deezer or TuneIn. And now have a colorful day ahead. Bye.